And now, friends, it's time for us to pay a few bills. Songtrust is the world's largest technology solution for global music royalty collection and publishing administration, enabling 205,000 plus songwriters and more than 26,000 publishers to collect their publishing royalties worldwide for over 2 million copyrights. Be sure and visit songtrust.com/pubcast to take advantage of a 20% off discount for a one-time registration just for listening to the AIMP Nashville Pubcast. And now, friends, let's get on with the show. Hey, family and friends, welcome to the latest episode of the AIMP Nashville Pubcast. On this episode, we chatted up with Anna Bond, Senior Director of Global Business Development at Songtrust. Anna preaches the importance of admin. Whether you're a local punk band or Drake, you need to worship and praise your administrator. Welcome back, listeners. Here we are again for another fantastic episode of the AIMP Nashville Pubcast. And today we have Anna Bond, who's the Senior Director of Global Business Development with Songtrust. And we're going to dive into the world of administration and how important administration is. I cannot stress, I've said this frequently throughout some of the other episodes, I'm a creative and I love my admin people. They are my best friends because they do all the stuff I don't want to do, but they collect my money. And that's the most important thing I find in my publishing world. And it's also an area that I always share that I find most of us kind of neglect and don't take as good a care of as we need to, and that's bad, very bad business, especially if you get bought and sold. I've been bought and sold a few times, so I know how important it is to keep your admin really good, clean, and effective so you can streamline your business. So, Anna, being that I don't know you as well as some of my other guests that I've had, and you want to jump in and give us a brief background, a little bio?
Yeah, sure. So I've been with Songtrust for just over a year. And before that, I was on the label side for about 15 years in the independent side. Most recently in labels, I was the U.S. General Manager for Rough Trade U.S., the legendary independent. I think recently celebrated their 40th anniversary, so they've been around for a while. And so always working, you know, really closely with artists on campaigns around album releases, tours, and just kind of ensuring that everyone, you know, was maximizing their opportunities. And, you know, I went to the publishing side, you know, at Songtrust specifically for a number of reasons. You know, one was I knew some folks who were already at Songtrust, including Molly Newman, who's now the president of the company. And I knew that, you know, they're always involved in interesting and forward-thinking ideas. And, you know, coming from the independent artist realm, you really see a lot of people who, like you said, with admin, right? They want to get it sorted out because they know that it's something that needs to be done. They don't want to do it because it's like the doing taxes of the music world. And so a lot of artists would just kind of sign early in their careers these not particularly advantageous pub deals. You know, for a small advance, they buy a van and then never really expect to see much on the back end, you know, if they're not getting a superstar covering their track or some sort of like big name collab. So I would see that, and I would see, you know, most of their syncs still coming from their independent labels. And, you know, they're giving up a tremendous amount of revenue and aren't always comfortable with it. You know, you see a lot of artists who don't want to divest themselves of these rights, but feel like it's the only way to get coverage. So the reason that I was particularly interested in Songtrust is, you know, it really is an alternative for artists who are early career or who, you know, we have a lot of artists who've been through the ringer, who've had kind of major pub deals and want to kind of take control of everything or anyone in between. I have managers with clients who are huge, you know, on the Spotify top 50 who are just like, I don't ever want to do a pub deal. I only want to do admin. So, you know, we're a resource for all those different kind of philosophical leanings.
Awesome. Now, I love the way you put it. It's like doing the tax for artists because you are so right. and another thing I want to point out, you said it. We always call admin it. It's kind of funny. Yeah. That's why I call it it. So let's start off with defining it. When we say that, if we're talking to somebody that, because a lot of our audience are as you mentioned, independent artists or new up and coming or smaller publishing companies. So let's dive in and describe what it is. On a basic level, when you say admin, what are you referring to?
Sure. So that is really just referring to collecting the performance royalties, mechanical royalties that are due to songwriters. Just when your song is, you know, played on the radio, when it is broadcast via satellite radio, you know, when it is streamed, that earns a mechanical. When physical copies are made, those earn mechanicals. And those are, you know, royalties specifically due to the songwriter. And especially in our streaming era, a lot of people aren't as clear about those as historically they have been. But in terms of admin, it's really, you know, what we do is we have direct relationships with, you know, global performance royalty organizations and mechanical organizations. And we are just out there registering works and collecting all the performance and mechanical royalty that is earned by them. But it's a lot of, you know, the doing taxes analogy works because it's like, there's a lot of entering information. There could be spreadsheets involved. It's very much about kind of submitting information out into the world, receiving information, and then allocating that information and those royalties. So it's pretty, you know, it's very process oriented. There's very little creative involved in admin. I mean, you can think of things and, you know, anything can be considered creatively, but we can think creatively about admin. But in terms of the actual processes, it is pretty straightforward.
First off, you did mention, like, I know there's like five income streams from and we're just referring to copyrights right now. We can discuss master licensing and sound recordings, which again is a separate set of issues. But you have mechanical licenses, we have performance licenses, sync licenses. And actually today, given the way that it's going, lyric licensing, you know, you have to get a license for that, which is actually increased again with the,
absolutely,
a lot of the websites out there that are now offering it. And then I see it streaming on iTunes and all that. And then the last one being grand rights, which personally we don't do a whole lot with. Grand rights is plays and theatrical, just for those that may not know. But let's start with, you mentioned mechanical, we know. Again, I don't always like to get too basic, but I like people to understand that mechanicals are sales, as you mentioned. And then performance, we know, is anything played live. We had an episode on live performances recently. And then we also have, you know, on live, it's a radio. Anytime you hear radio.
Right.
And as you mentioned, some of the confusion is now in streaming, a stream is split. We have part of it's mechanical, part of it's performance, because that's how we did it, 50-50. So
yeah, we just decided it's both a reproduction and it is also public performance.
Then, of course, sync, which is anything that is connected to a video, whether it's TV, ads, videos, you know, through YouTube. And again, YouTube's kind of its own thing as well.
Sure is.
It's super important to make sure you're collecting your money. And there's a process involved in that, too. And which, again, it's all changed in the last 8 years for me. And it's admin was fairly clean and simple. You had a couple places you went to go collect your money, but now it's so broad, right?
Well, and I think, you know, historically, a lot of artists who are from an era, a pre-streaming era, who they kind of, you know, were the most popular then, especially in the independent sector, were used to either having a 50-50 deal, so there's no mechanicals paid with, like, their indie label, or, you know, they got the mechanicals paid directly from the label. And so the idea that there's this other source of mechanicals from streaming that don't flow through your label, that in fact, you know, only flow through the mechanical rights organizations, is something that we're trying to really educate people on, because there is a lot of confusion. And the fact that there is a performance royalty earned with a stream is also something that eludes a lot of people. But, you know, when people are like, well, I'm registered with ASCAP, I'm registered with BMI, so I'm all set on publishing administration, you know, you're getting your performance royalties in the US specifically, but in terms of mechanicals, it's a completely different ballgame.
Perfect. I had in my head to ask the question now on mechanicals, where do you go? You mentioned organizations. What are your organizations you should be sure that you are affiliated with to make sure you're getting your mechanical license?
Well, in the US, it's primarily Harry Fox and Music Reports, or MRI. But you know, Harry Fox is not really built for individuals. It's really built for publishers. It's a pretty long process to get signed up. It takes a while. It's a bit arduous because, you know, that organization, like so many of the societies around the world, that was built in an era when you were really working with publishers in order to get your mechanical royalties, because mechanicals were coming from record labels. And, you know, the amount of artists who were releasing on record labels was much smaller than the amount of artists who are able to release, you know, directly to streaming services today. So it was just, you know, structured very differently and really not built for, you know, individual creators to sign up with them in order to collect their mechanicals.
Right. And it, I still basically, for anybody out there, that I always refer, like, is a pretty mid-sized publishing company that we are. Mm-hmm. We're still independent. Like, if you're an independent artist licensing music, Harry Fox is still kind of the go-to to, yeah. That's if you are the user. Like, if you record something, you can make sure it's licensed. Most of it's on Harry Fox. Pretty painless procedure there on mm-hmm. an indie level. And you did mention...
Yeah, their song file is pretty searchable.
Yeah, and that makes it super easy. But again, on the collecting side, if you're indie and you're putting your own music out, now you mentioned Music Reports. Do they operate similarly to Harry Fox?
They do and they don't. I mean, MRI is a company that you do need to register with, but they have their procedure is a little bit different in terms of how they distribute, how they allocate, and how they license, but they're very comparable in terms of, you know, the fact that they're both, you know, mechanical collections organizations, and, you know, they're collecting from, you know, your Amazons, your Spotify's, your Apple Music, and, you know, a lot of other sources as well. But those are, you know, obviously the DSPs are the biggest earners in terms of mechanical royalties.
Now, if I'm an independent, do I have to be registered with both, or is it like a ASCAP BMI scenario where you pick one?
So with MRI and HFA, it's different because MRI licenses some sources and HFA licenses other sources. So in order to, I think MRI licenses some of the Amazon services. So if you want to be collecting your Amazon money, you've got to be, you know, in touch with MRI. And if you want to be collecting, say, your Spotify money, you've got to be in touch with HFA.
So going back to YouTube, what are some of the best ways to go about doing that on an indie level?
Well, the most important thing is that YouTube registers and tracks performances using ISRCs. So until you have an ISRC and until you have a master, you know, meaning a master recording associated with the YouTube video, which is something that you have to do directly, it's not going to be tracking. You know, there is Content ID. There are other tools out there that enable people to match, you know, using song data to match the songs with YouTube videos. But really the most important aspect of YouTube monetization is to ensure that you have a master recording associated with it, because that is the ISRC is what YouTube uses to collect. You know, it's also what is being used when it comes to streams, but it's not necessarily being used by performing rights societies. So that's a difference. And with YouTube, you know, not every video is monetizable. There are, you know, requirements for, you know, number of hours for the channel, number of subscribers for the channel, or number of views for an individual video before it can become monetized when the ads are added against it. And that is something that you have to do actively. And generally, master owners are taking care of that. In terms of collecting, you know, on the master side, often you'll set that up through a distributor, through a label, or there are a lot of third parties that handle YouTube master monetization. And on the publishing side as well, it's something that SongTrust does. It's something that, you know, there are plenty of third-party organizations out there that handle YouTube monetization on the composition side, or some places will do master and composition, kind of depending on what's available and what you're looking for. And they all have a different kind of set of services. You know, they might be optimizing your search results, or they might be doing a lot of scouring of user-generated content using various tools and algorithms to find additional videos that might be using your songs. But it is really important to make sure that you're collecting on YouTube, because, you know, it's the smallest of the micro pennies per stream. But, you know, YouTube is, I believe, still the biggest platform for music consumption in the world. So it is important to make sure that you're monetizing there, whether you're doing so directly with YouTube, which has its limitations, or via a third party.
Without a doubt. I think the last I heard, YouTube on as a streaming platform streams more than all the other streaming services combined still. So that is a massive amount.
Would not surprise me at all, yeah.
Now I'm going to back up a hair, because I hear that word a lot and I do know what it is, but I'm going to have you said ISRC. Explain to me what an ISRC is, if I have no idea what that is.
So that stands for International Standard Recording Code. And it is a code that is unique, that is associated with every recording of a song. So that's for a unique recording. Every master has an ISRC. So that means if, you know, I am a composer and three people cover my song and release three different master versions of them, those will have three different ISRCs. If I'm a band and I do a live album, the live version of my song will have a different ISRC than the studio album version of my song. And it's recording is really the operative letter, the R. It is an identifier that that identifies unique recordings. There is an analog to the ISRC in the composition land, which is the International Standard Works Code. And that W means that identifies unique compositions. So there can be multiple ISRCs associated with one ISWC. And, you know, the publishing world perhaps has the most acronyms of any of the worlds. But ISRCs are what YouTube uses to monetize, as well as any monetization for like streaming mechanicals. And ISWCs are used for folks who are monetizing specifically on the composition side.
So there's a great reason to have an administrator. I know when I started up, I had a company for 8 years parallel. I did a lot of the administration at first because I had zero writers. I started from ground zero. But even as soon as I really got running, I immediately hired somebody to start helping me on the administrative side. Because again, I cannot stress how important it is to get that clean and set up in the beginning. On a publishing side, even for me, that's song turn-ins, lyrics, DOCs, which are data creations for those that may not know, and getting that from my writers to making sure everything's registered and all that. So let's talk about the importance of an administrator. If we haven't made that clear enough already, because there's a lot that needs to be done, let's talk about the role of an administrator. Just basically, what all does an administrator do?
So the very basics of what an administrator does is they register your works with partners around the world. And that includes people who are collecting on performance royalties and people who are collecting mechanical royalties. And they check those registrations, make sure they are, you know, activated, make sure that you are collecting. If I had a radio song, you know, a year ago in France, where's that money? They're the ones who are going after it, you know, talking to the French Society, talking to all of the sources, and ensuring that, you know, the royalty statements add up to what was really happening. If you know, okay, well, this song had 100 million streams and I'm not seeing the mechanical royalties that I would expect for 100 million streams, it's going back and, contacting the DSP, contacting the mechanical royalty organization and saying, is there an issue with the registration? Is there an issue, you know, with the collection? What's going on? Is there a counterclaim? You know, if you write a song with a friend, you split it 50-50, but that friend who's a bad friend goes and registers the song at 100% belonging to them, you're then, as the second person registering it, you then have to show proof of the agreement in order to override that initial registration. So that is a complexity. Counterclaims happen all the time, and it's incumbent on your administrator to resolve all these things. But of course, like you mentioned, they can only do what they can do if you give them good information.
What is a typical cost range for administrators?
You know, that is going to vary pretty widely. And because some administrators, administrators take different pieces of income. Like some administrators, even though they're not the creative part of the publishing world, will take a percentage of passive sync, because, and passive means they didn't go out and pitch it for you. They just maybe did the paperwork after someone else had kind of procured it for you. That's the sync industry word. So, you know, you'll have some administrators will say, okay, here's our percentage for, you know, incoming sync income. Here's our percentage for mechanicals. Here's our percentage for performance. Here's our percentage for ex-US. Here's our percentage for inside of the US. And that'll vary a lot. And that's going to completely depend on, you know, the profile of the artist. If they think that there's money in the pipeline, meaning maybe there are some back collections out there, because if you're an artist and you've never collected your mechanical royalties, like you're not direct with Harry Fox, you've never had an administrator before, you have a couple, 3 years of back mechanical streaming royalties that haven't yet been collected. So that's something that will come into consideration. So there's a big range. With Songtrust, because we are built to be a direct-to-client platform, we have a pretty simple proposition, which is, you know, our global network of over 50 sources. It's a 15% admin commission, and then a one-time $100 registration fee. And the reason we do the one-time registration fee is because there's no barrier to entry. We're not like a traditional administrator or publisher where you have to kind of meet someone and go through an A&R process. You know, Songtrust is available for everyone, but we do need to kind of cover our costs with the one-time registration fee.
Absolutely. And so you've touched on a little bit, but I want to give you this opportunity because, in full disclosure, Songtrust is our sponsor for our season three of the Nashville AIMP Pubcast. So what do you see as some of the big, you've touched on a couple of differentiators on what you guys do and traditional administrators, because I know you're set up more for the new technologies and the new world that we're kind of dealing in, as we've kind of explained.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the biggest differentiators is we're truly a technology company. I mean, we're a music company because all of our technology is in support of artists. But we, you know, identified when Songtrust started that, you know, the publishing world publishing is a very old industry, right? And, you know, a lot of the organizations who are kind of the backbone of the collections are pretty old, and they've had to keep up with some incredible changes in technology. You know, satellite radio is one of them, but obviously streaming is the biggest one, streaming radio, like all these new types of performances, all these new types of mechanicals to track, to collect for, to register works for. Obviously the amount of works being, you know, uploaded to Spotify and to all of the other DSPs on a daily basis is what, 40,000, I think was the last I heard. So that's a lot higher volume than, say, in the 1950s when you had to go, you know, press a 45 record. So the sea change in what these collection organizations have dealt with is pretty indescribable. And, you know, Songtrust really wanted to start as a company based on the idea that, like, you know, this is a scalable business if you're using technology correctly and you're making sure to be a good partner to the societies by providing data excellence, but also, you know, just making sure that people out there, like we work with so many artists, you know, maybe they're a producer, they have 10% of like three big songs. And it's not the type of thing that, you know, once you become a producer, you go into the studio, someone's like, okay, let me explain publishing to you. Nobody does that. You have to really discover it on your own. And a lot of people don't. That's one of the reasons that Songtrust is specifically interested in educating people. Because again, this information, like you mentioned at the beginning, it seems shrouded in mystery. It seems so hard to understand. People just want to, you know, put their head in their hands. And it's something that we really want to educate people on. We have a ton of educational resources, you know, on our website. We do webinars that are focused on creators. I work with a lot of businesses on their publishing administration needs, and it's the same thing. There's really a lot of education to do, and it's a huge part of our mission because, you know, we all want musicians to have sustainable careers. And even if your publishing royalties aren't huge, they're still yours. and it will still make a difference, you know, getting that additional revenue and knowing that your rights are taken care of. And that's really the SongTrust mission, I would say.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the AIMP Nashville Pubcast. Subscribe now on your favorite podcast platform and follow us at AIMP Nashville to keep up with news, events, panels, and even new episodes. The AIMP Nashville Pubcast is created by executive producers Del Bobo and Tim Hunzi, producer Brandon Harrington, mixing and editing by Casey Porter. Thanks for listening and supporting the AIMP Nashville.